Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Oh, an article in the New York Times on June 17th, 2015, that said this: industry's growth leads to leftover embryos and painful choices. The article says this, that after years of infertility, Angel and Jeff Watts found a young egg donor to help them have a baby. They fertilized her eggs with Mr. Watts' sperm and got 10 good embryos. Four of those embryos were transferred to Mrs. Watts' womb, resulting in two sets of twins, Alexander and Shelby, now 4 years old, and Angelina and Charles, not yet 2 years old. But that left six frozen embryos. On a medical advice, Mrs. Watts, 45, had no plans for more children. So in December, she took to Facebook to try to find a nearby Tennessee family that wanted them. Here's a quote from her Facebook post. It says, quote, "We have six good quality frozen 6-day-old embryos to donate to an amazing family who wants a larger family, or a large family," unquote. The quote then goes on. It says, "We prefer someone who has been married several years in a steady, loving relationship and a strong Christian background, and who does not already have kids but wants to have a boatload," unquote. Well, the storage facility across the nation, hundreds of thousands of frozen embryos, perhaps even a million of them, are preserved in silver tanks of liquid nitrogen. Some are in storage for cancer patients trying to preserve their chance to have a family after chemotherapy destroys their fertility. But most are left over from the booming assisted reproduction industry, belonging to couples like the Watts, who could not conceive naturally. Well, as part of our series, we launched a series, sub-series to our Master's Minute series that we do on Wednesday. Every Wednesday on the second half of the program, I'm joined by one of the professors from the Master's College. We have a rotating list of professors that join me, and one of those professors is Dr. Joseph Francis, who joins me on the broadcast today, and we have started a series with Dr. Francis about Christian bioethics, and today we want to talk about this subject of frozen embryos. How should the Christian approach this subject? How should we think through this biblically, as we see these new areas of science that are opening up to us? Let me remind our listening audience that Dr. Francis is the chairperson of the Department of Biological and Physical Sciences and the Department of Mathematics. He's also professor of biological science as well at the Master's College. And Dr. Francis, is certainly a pleasure to have you back on the program with us.
It's great to be back. Thanks for having me.
Well, Dr. Francis, I set this up a little bit by talking about that article in the New York Times, but why don't I let you set it up as well about what's taking place specifically in this area of fertilization and also with embryos, specifically the idea of freezing these embryos to be used later or in some cases possibly destroyed.
Yes, and this is not really that new. So we should be educated on this area. It's been the first test tube baby. This was called test tube babies back in the 70s. Was born in 1978. There have been a lot of successful births. It's also called IVF, in vitro fertilization, and in vitro is Latin for in glass. Meaning in a petri dish or in a test tube. So in vitro is the technical term, and the shorthand is IVF, in vitro fertilization. It's nothing more than fertilization outside the body. And as we described in our last program, one of the things that all Christians should observe is that time of life we call conception, that we find in the Bible and we find in modern biological science. And in both places, we find that the life of an individual begins. And so that's where we start. And if that's where the life of an individual begins, then we need to honor that life. And we also need to be aware also of infertility among all populations, even in the church. We're talking about one out of six couples, and this can be very difficult. We do want to follow what God has designed for us, to have children. And so it can be very hard on a couple when they can't have that. I believe it's biblically permissible to seek medical treatment. Our Lord recognized physicians. He recognized healing. And so I believe we can do that. Where in vitro fertilization gets difficult is it's expensive. And so the doctors who want to perform this, they want to have a good track record. A couple wants to have children on this first go-around, and so they will need to harvest multiple eggs and fertilize them so that they will have a good chance of having successful conception. But then that leads to this ethical dilemma where we have multiple embryos. And I think that's then where the problems arise, because, again, if we're pro-life, and that each of those small children are living people. And so we need to find out how do we do this in a pro-life manner.
Mm-hmm.
Freezing the embryos is disturbing. That means that you're actually putting them in suspended animation, that their age actually is... So you could have two children, and one would be born later, but they would actually be conceived at the same time.
Mm.
It's kind of disturbing, but again, this I believe can be done pro-life if we avoid this issue of destruction of human life. But I think it's difficult. It's very, very difficult. But we also have a schizophrenic culture. Let's put this in the context of our culture, because a few years ago you might have remembered the Octomom,
yes.
This late lady who, she wanted all the embryos implanted, and she kind of did it apparently for publicity. But then she was really shunned in our society. Even the doctors who helped her were shunned. And I'm thinking this is, Francis Schaeffer used to call her society schizophrenic in these areas, because here's a lady who's trying to be pro-life, maybe for the wrong reasons, but she was pro-life. I think they tried to fine her doctor, yet down the street we have doctors taking kids out of the womb and killing them.
Yes.
And we're not fining them. So we live in this schizophrenic culture. We have infertility among believers. So what do we do? How do we live in this area? And I think, again, that's where conception, the biblical view and the biological view of conception, helps us. If we begin a life, we have to honor that life. And we have to be very careful, even about manipulation. The frozen embryos, so then we have a situation now where we do have banks of frozen embryos. What do we do? I think Christians should be about rescuing them. We need to rescue them and try to find ways that we can have them come into this world. That life has begun. Then I think you might have read in the article, what even might be more disturbing is there were some companies who wanted to get on the bandwagon and start collecting the embryos and selling them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's disturbing, because we do have a history in our culture of selling human beings, but we call that slavery. And so very, very interesting twists here, but I think, again, the most important thing for believers, if you want to get medical help, we need to look at the Bible and investigate it and say, how can we honor life? How can we honor God? Maybe adoption is better. Maybe there's other ways to go. Mm-hmm. But in a minute, I'll also talk about cloning. This leads into the whole area of cloning, which is even even more disturbing about where we could go with the embryo research.
Let me just say that, you know, obviously there's parents that are listening out there now that struggled to for the wife to get pregnant, and so they had fertility issues, and their arms were aching to have a child. And so many of them may have chosen IVF and decided that that was the way for them to go. But we want people to understand that what takes place with that is there's not just one child created in that process because of the expense of it and so forth, that there are multiple eggs that are fertilized. And what we're talking about is what do you then do with the other eggs? So you, the couple gets their baby, and everyone rejoices that this couple that was infertile before, they're now, praise the Lord, through modern science and so forth, they're able to have a child, and everybody rejoices. And, well, we should. But the question that we're asking here today is that there are, in that process, there are other children, i.e. embryos that are spoken about in this article, could be many of them. In this particular case, I think there were six left over or so. And so what happens to those other children? The article says this: there are no national statistics on what happens to these leftover embryos. As a practical matter, many sit in storage indefinitely. Academic researchers say either at facility clinics or other facilities costing $300 to $1,200 a year. A small percentage of people stop paying the storage fees and leave it up to the clinic or facility to figure out what to do. And so now we've got a real dilemma here. These are children. These are living beings, human beings. They're suspended in this frozen state of animation here, but nevertheless, these are souls. And so what do we do with these frozen embryos? That's what we're discussing today with Dr. Francis on the program. Dr. Francis says in this article that, you know, people grapple with these choices. They're really not sure what to do with them. They've come up with some kind of bizarre ways of trying to feel better about destroying them. But the bottom line is either you allow them to become, you know, to be implanted and develop into full children, full adulthood, you know, and full life that they have the possibility of, or you destroy them, I think, are basically the two options, right?
Yeah, those are the two options. And again, we can start out by being pro-life and honoring God here, but as I've talked about in the last program, we quoted C. Everett Koop, and he said, you know, the first step in any dilemma might look moral, but what's the next step likely to be? I do believe, I would say, we need caution in this whole area because of the fact that we have people frozen in time, and their lives are, tissue will degrade over time, even in a frozen chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Those parents, I don't know if they're being told that. Just like anything in your freezer will degrade over time, even though it's frozen, this will happen. But what I'm disturbed about is something you picked up on there. You said quality.
Mm.
As Christians, we have to be very careful about this whole quality of life language. We believe in the sanctity of life, which means all the handicapped, the old, the aged, the infirmed, all have a sanctity of life.
Mm-hmm.
And when we start talking about these frozen embryos and say, here's some high quality, we have to be careful.
Yes.
Because life has begun, and if there's low quality children there, does that mean they're not desirable? Now we're slipping into eugenics. And that, of course, that's what happened in a culture like Germany in the 1920s and 30s. They had good intentions with, well, let's change our society by having good birth. But it slipped within a few decades into elimination of people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not saying that pro-life parents here are doing that to that extent. But there's a step there that we can take. And so here's another, not only do we have companies interested in selling these, but one of the latest, if you take this whole area and you add it to something called genetics testing, there's another thing going on in our society called genetics testing, where you can have your genes tested to see what diseases you might have in the future. Well, now they're taking genetics testing and applying it to these embryos.
Mm-hmm.
And so some companies are saying, we will only take a certain kind of sperm or egg that will lead to a high-quality life.
Yes.
Well, I don't think for the Christian, now we've gotten outside the realm of biblical prescription here about what we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
We're not supposed to choose. We're supposed to, there's something the way God made about reproduction that it's left to his realm. And when we get into saying we're going to choose this high quality life, we have to be so careful with our language,
mm-hmm.
in this area. And that is eugenics. That is eugenics. When we start saying we're going to select this and put this together with this, then we have become, I think, in charge of something that God intended for him to oversee.
That's right. The article says it this way. It says the embryos with the greatest chance of developing into a healthy baby are used first, and the excess are frozen. They said 400,000 frozen embryos in 2011, estimated much higher, like we said, about 1 million. But it says this, that couples are generally glad to have the leftover embryos, backups, in case of pregnancy, in case it doesn't work out the first time. But it goes on in the article to say this, but if I ask them what they will do with them, the leftover embryos, they often have a Scarlett O'Hara response. I'll think about that tomorrow, said Dr. Sauer from Columbia University. Couples don't always agree about the moral and the legal status of the embryos, where life begins, and how religion enters into it. And a lot of them end up kicking the can down the road. In other words, what we're really saying to people today is you need to think about this prior to having IVF or prior to entering into this procedure, because you need to know from a biblical perspective exactly what are you going to do with those other ones. That would be the right response, right?
Oh, yes. Yes, we need to think ahead. I think we also talked about that in the bioethics formula for Christians is not only knowing the history of any technique, but thinking ahead about the future. What is the future likely to hold? And is this going to be pro-life not only now, but in the future? Absolutely. I think Christians need to rethink this through. We're a little bit too trusting of the medical community, and we need to go in there with being proactive and thinking ahead. You know, maybe it's more expensive to say I only want three children, and that's the three embryos we're going to produce, and that's the three embryos we're going to put into the womb.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? If that's what it takes, then that's what we should do. We should be as pro-life as possible. The other interesting thing about this whole area is it leads to surrogacy. So in other words, many infertile couples, either the man or the woman, they can't produce an egg or a sperm, and so a third party person comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes there's a surrogate pregnancy, meaning there's an egg donor and then there's someone who's going to carry the baby. Well, my concern about this is now you're having families where these children actually have more than two parents. They have genes from the donor. They have the mother who bore the child, and all mothers bond with their children. That could lead to a lot of dilemmas. That could lead to a lot of confusion. Someone could say, well, that's my DNA in that child, so I claim rights to that child. It even gets more confusing with cloning. In cloning, what we can do is take the DNA out of an egg and put another set of DNA in that egg. Well, that original egg also retains some DNA in what's called the mitochondria. So what you could have in some of these situations is children with 3, 4, 5 genetic parents.
Mm.
And Christians need to think through that, because one of those parents could say, hey, that's my child. And now you're in a, legal, ethical dilemma that you never wanted to be in. And we definitely need to think through this, mm-hmm. because, again, the next steps that I see are selling children or eugenically modifying children to be a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And who are we to say that we can just freeze away those that we think are less desirable?
Yeah, some of the folks in the article, too, raised concerns that, as you pointed out early on, that the children would basically be twins, typical postings of available embryos. Here's one, 4 frozen babies ready for an active, fun-loving home, unquote. Here's another one. Beautiful, intelligent, athletic, Caucasian embryos looking for a home. And a recipient's posting said this, I just want to be a mommy. And another one said, wanting to start a family, tired of getting enough sleep, unquote. So now it's beginning to get a little bit strange, to say the least, where we find these types of statements that are being made and advertisement being done on both sides of this equation. Dr. Francis, we have just a couple moments left. We have to leave the cloning for next time. But let me let you kind of sum up then your thoughts on what I just read, but sum up as well the entire discussion that we just had about these embryos.
Yes, I think, again, as pro-life believers, we want to honor God's command to have children. And as we talked about last time, there's some guiding principles in the scripture. One is in Deuteronomy, it says, choose life so you and your descendants shall live. And I think that's what we're hearing in these parents saying, you know, now I have multiple descendants. What do I do? So I think the caution is we need to think through what God has for us and our family in the future. And we need to preserve life and honor life at all costs, even thinking about that before we organize our families, and being pro-life from that very early time in our marriage and honoring God. And I think let's think about some of the orphans around us and the many, many children that need homes from other countries. And there's avenues there where we can have children and we can honor the Lord. But I have a concern that some of the language we're using is very similar to eugenics language of the last century.
Mm.
And we need to honor God and honor life and not get into a situation where we get into God's realm in this area of reproduction. And I think I just thank him for his word, which is a guiding principle. We need to go back to it and organize our lives around it.
Mm. Well, Dr. Francis, well said. Thank you so much for your help on thinking through these issues and thinking through them biblically. We really appreciate the work that you're doing there at the Master's College.
Thank you, Pastor.
Okay, again, that was Dr. Joe Francis, who was our guest today, to talk about the idea of these frozen embryos and IVF as well. And remember, you can find out all the information about the Master's College out at their website. Their website is www.masters.edu. That's www.masters.edu. And remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.